The supreme role model. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. In his noble footsteps, perfection we see. A model for all in life's every degree. The supreme role model.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome to another special transmission of Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Nur Sharif, where we are talking about none other than the best of creation, the greatest Rasul, the last Nabi of Allah Azza wa Jal, the Holy Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today we are talking about the aspect of obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, to discuss this beautiful topic, this important topic, we have once again the Honorable Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad. Subhanallah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Munasab?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing fine, Munasab. How are you keeping?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. All praises is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever our condition is. Well, today we're going to be discussing obedience to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a beautiful topic and a very important one.
100%.
Because we are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's our master.
Absolutely.
And a servant, us, has to obey the master. Because that master is like no other master. This master is the beloved of Allah azza wa jal. The most beloved of Allah azza wa jal. Whatever he has given us, whatever he has advised us, whatever he has told us to do or not to do, is in my benefit and your benefit. So it's necessary to obey him. So we're going to be discussing about obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let's make some good intentions. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. So let's make those good intentions. And oh Allah azza wa jal, I am watching, I am listening to the Silsila of Madani channel for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others as well, inshaAllah azza wa jal. There are so many wonderful bounties for reciting Salat ala Nabi, Durood e Pak. We hear about the narrations, different types of narrations, but what is more important than just listening, learning, is to practice. If I want to taste the sweetness of knowledge, then I need to practice for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's listen to another narration, but make the intention to practice. It's in my benefit, it's in your benefit as well. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has advised us that the one who recites Durood e Pak 50 times daily, then on Qiyamah, he will shake hands with that person. Who doesn't want to shake the blessed hands, the beautiful, soft hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah subhanAllah. We need to dedicate some time. Yes, we're all busy. We have our timetables, our schedules. We're all busy, but if we don't take out that time, who's going to have regret? Who's going to be in loss? We will be in loss. So take out some time every day to recite the Quran with translation from Kanzul Iman. To recite Salawat, Durood e Pak, Istighfar, making sincere Tawbah, Dhikrullah, and seeking knowledge of Deen from authentic sources and scholars. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, Dawud Islami provides all of that, mashallah. Let's listen to a lovely kalam. And we'll continue with our discussion. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
آگئے سرکار جھومو نبیوں کے سردار جھومو دو جگ کے مختار جھومو ہیں سب کے غمخار جھومو یہ میلاد خیر الورا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر الورا ہو رہا ہے آقا کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا رسول کی آمد مرحبا مقبول کی آمد مرحبا حضور کی آمد مرحبا پر نور کی آمد مرحبا بشیر کی آمد مرحبا نذیر کی آمد مرحبا اول کی آمد مرحبا آخر کی آمد مرحبا باطن کی آمد مرحبا ظاہر کی آمد مرحبا یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
یہ کیوں آج ہوتا ہے گھر گھر چراغ یہ کیوں آج ہوتا ہے گھر گھر چراغ جہاں کا سما کیوں نیا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
زمانے پہ کیوں آج ہے نور چھایا زمانے پہ کیوں آج ہے نور چھایا یہ کیوں ذکر صلی علی ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
کیوں جبریل جھنڈا لیے آ رہے ہیں کیوں جبریل جھنڈا لیے آج کیا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
گئے سرکار جھومو نبیوں کے سردار جھومو دو جگ کے مختار جھومو ہیں سب کے غمخار جھومو
سارے کعبہ گاڑے ہیں جبریل جھنڈا سارے کعبہ گاڑے ہیں جبریل جھنڈا علم تیرا دنیا پہ واہ ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
آقا کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا رسول کی آمد مرحبا مقبول کی آمد مرحبا حضور کی آمد مرحبا پر نور کی آمد مرحبا بشیر کی آمد مرحبا نذیر کی آمد مرحبا اول کی آمد مرحبا آخر کی آمد مرحبا باطن کی آمد مرحبا ظاہر کی آمد مرحبا
ہو بخشش میری ساری امت کی یا رب زباں سے یہ ان کی ادا ہو رہا ہے مرحبا رب قبلی امتی کہتے ہوئے پیدا ہوئے رب قبلی امتی کہتے ہوئے پیدا ہوئے حق نے فرمایا کہ بخشا صلاۃ والسلام
ہو بخشش میری ساری امت کی یا رب ہو بخشش میری ساری امت کی یا رب زباں سے یہ ان کی ادا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
گئے سرکار جھومو نبیوں کے سردار جھومو دو جگ کے مختار جھومو
ہیں سب کے غم خار نہ کیوں آج جھومے کہ سرکار آئے خدا کی خدائی کے مختار آئے مبارک تمہیں غم کے مارو مبارک مداوائے غم بن کے غم خار آئے سوال اپنی امت کی بخشش کا کرتے وہ ہم عاصیوں کے طرف دار آئے یتیموں کے والی غریبوں کے حامی وہ آفت زدوں کے مددگار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ گناہوں سے نفرت ہو اچھائیوں پر مجھے پیار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ ہمیں اپنا غم دو شاہ چشم نم کے طلبگار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا شاہ خلد میں جب یہ بدکار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر مدینے میں ہر سال آتار آئے
آقا کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا
رسول کی آمد مرحبا مقبول کی آمد مرحبا حضور کی آمد مرحبا پر نور کی آمد مرحبا بشیر کی آمد مرحبا نذیر کی آمد مرحبا اول کی آمد مرحبا آخر کی آمد مرحبا باطن کی آمد مرحبا ظاہر کی آمد مرحبا
یہ نورانی صورت دوحاہا کے جلوے تو واللیل گیسو نما ہو رہا ہے
ہے ہونٹوں پہ قربان رعنا یہ گل
ہے ہونٹوں پہ قربان رعنا یہ گل
تبسم پہ بلبل فدا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
یہ کہتی تھی گھر گھر میں جا کر حلیمہ میرے گھر میں خیر الورا آ گئے ہیں بڑے اوج پر ہے میرا اب مقدر میرے گھر حبیب خدا آ گئے ہیں
اٹھی چار سو رحمتوں کی گھٹائیں معطر معطر ہے ساری فضائیں
خوشی میں یہ جبریل نغمے سنائے وہ شافیع روزے جزا آ گئے ہیں
یہ ظلمت سے کہہ دو کہ ڈیرے اٹھا لے کہ ہیں ہر طرف اب اجالے اجالے
کہا جن کو حق نے سراجا منیرا میرے گھر وہ نور خدا آ گئے ہیں
یہ سن کر سبھی آپ کا آستانہ ہے دامن پسارے ہوئے سب زمانہ ولادت کا صدقہ نگاہ کرم تیرے در پہ تیرے گدا آ گئے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
زمانے کے غم بھول جاتے ہیں اس کو تیرے در جو حاضر گدا ہو رہا ہے
گما دے طوفانی کو اپنی ولا میں گما دے طوفانی کو اپنی ولا میں یہ دنیا کے غم میں فنا ہو رہا ہے
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
آقا کی آمد مرحبا داتا کی آمد مرحبا اعلیٰ کی آمد مرحبا بالا کی آمد مرحبا اولا کی آمد مرحبا والا کی آمد مرحبا
رسول کی آمد مرحبا مقبول کی آمد مرحبا
حضور کی آمد مرحبا
پر نور کی آمد مرحبا
بشیر کی آمد مرحبا
نذیر کی آمد مرحبا اول کی آمد مرحبا آخر کی آمد مرحبا باطن کی آمد مرحبا ظاہر کی آمد مرحبا
آقا
گئے سرکار
جھومو
نبیوں کے سردار
جھومو
دو جگ کے مختار
جھومو
ہیں سب کے غمخوار
یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ جشن حبیب خدا ہو رہا ہے یہ میلاد خیر البرا ہو رہا ہے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم. I'm sure you would have enjoyed that beautiful kalam. It is these types of kalams that we need to listen to. Above all, kalamullah, the glorious Quran. But also get your children used to listening to the recitation of the Quran, reading the Quran, listening to kalams, Naat Sharif, praises of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to further develop that love in our hearts and obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah jalla jalaluhu, for the sake of the messenger, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, take us all for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So what does obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam entail? We need to understand something, that we are the slaves of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we like it or not, He is our creator, our maker, our cherisher, our sustainer. This life we have, this body we have belongs to Him. Doesn't belong to us. Whatever opportunities I have in life, whatever benefits and blessings or material possessions, whatever it is, even knowledge, degrees, that all is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I should thank Him. Do you know what's one of the best ways of thanking Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? To obey Him. How do I obey Allah azza wa jal? By following the commands of His words, which are contained in the glorious Quran. Have you not heard Surah An-Nisa verse 80? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Whoever has obeyed the messenger, the Rasul, so indeed he has obeyed Allah. It can't be that I sideline the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and I claim that I'm obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I am disobedient to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only way, the correct way, is to obey the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if I wish to obey my creator, Rabb Azza wa Jal. Who gave us Quran? To whom was the Quran revealed? Who explained the Quran to us? Who showed us how to perform salah? Who showed us, who taught us, who advised us and guided us regarding Hajj, Zakah, fasting in Ramadan, fulfilling rights of others? Who taught us these things? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who was his teacher? None other than Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to us, we have to take it. We don't have any chance to negotiate over there. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. The Quran is teaching us, telling us, ordering us, what the Rasul gives you, you have to take it. And what he forbids you, you have to abstain. You have to refrain. So my thoughts, my ideas, my concepts, my opinions, doesn't matter. If my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said it, that's the only way if I want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen to this narration and let us think, let us contemplate of whether I claim obedience with my tongue, but do my actions match with that or not? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he has narrated that the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam He once saw a person who was wearing a gold ring. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removed that ring from his finger and threw it away. What did he say? He said, does anyone keep a flame in his hand? After that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves. Another person who witnessed this came to that person who was wearing the ring. And he said, why don't you go and pick up that ring and use it in some other way? You don't have to wear it. Something else you can do with it. And he said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I will never take it. I will not touch it. Whilst my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has thrown it away.
Allah.
Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, the most obedient to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and none other than Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan. You have to learn obedience. Learn it from them. Because they practically displayed and demonstrated obedience to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. An important point to note here is that for a man, the only jewelry that is allowed is a silver ring. Men, Muslim men, wearing earrings, necklaces, bracelets, for fashion to show. Who are you following? Ask yourself this. If a person is guilty of that, who are you following? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had these things. What did he say? Don't imitate the woman. Woman must not imitate the men. Are we obeying that? Or am I obeying my desires and the desires of society? What are they calling me to? They're actually calling us towards the pleasure of shaitan, the way of shaitan. For a man, earrings are not allowed. Gold rings, brass rings, rings of other metals, one ring only, that's silver ring.
But to start off, Mahasab, there is, you know, regarding the obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then in turn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would love us and forgive us for our sins. How beautiful is that? And this is so beautiful way in we all, you know, want the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A way of doing that is through the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by following his blessed ahadith, by following his actions, by following his words, those things which he commanded and those things which he refrained one from doing. All of these things will fall under the topic of obedience.
Right.
Like, for example, if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration that you've mentioned, where he told the Sahaba that to throw away your ring, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam threw the ring of that Sahabi. And this Sahabi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, did not go back to pick up the ring. Why? Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked it. And whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked, the Sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan, they also disliked. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liked, the Sahaba ikram alayhi muridwan, they liked. Like one day a Sahabi saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was served with calabash and some meat. And the Sahabi says, from that day onwards, I like calabash,
yes,
and I would eat calabash. Just because of, you know, seeing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam liking the calabash and eating the calabash, it became so beloved to the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was always seen smiling. Whenever anyone would look at him, he would always be smiling. And so he was asked as to, why are you smiling all the time? If you're smiling all the time, then people would think that you are a fool. And so he says that whenever I would look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever I would see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaking, he would always be smiling. And it's for this reason that you see me, I am always smiling. Whether someone looks at me, I'm smiling.
See, we love all Sahaba.
Definitely.
They're the crowns of our heads. And we can never ever match them, come close to them. You know, we are not even worthy of being the dust under their feet. This is the reality. And you mentioned some beautiful narrations regarding Kalbash, Kaddu Sharif, as they call it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't order them that all of you must eat Kaddu Sharif. Didn't order them that you must smile. He practiced upon it, and because of their obedience, their love, their loyalty to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, you know what, I am like making this like compulsory in myself. Although it wasn't something wajib or compulsory to eat Kaddu Sharif. It reminds me, Sayyiduna Imam Abu Yusuf, rahmatullahi, one of the senior students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi, when, you know, he reached a stage where he became the qadi, the judge in the court of the king, of the khalifa. So one day he was invited for a meal and he's sitting to eat and they were serving different dishes. One of them was Kaddu Sharif, Kalabash.
Right.
So somebody was sitting there. He said, hey, take this thing away from me. I don't like this.
Allah.
Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, being the qadi, the judge, head judge, he stood up in a jalal. He got so angry, he was about to punish that person and sentence that person day and then. How can you say such a thing when this is a sunnah?
Allah, Allah.
And he had the authority for it. He was a judge.
Right.
You know, so that person made tawbah. But look how they used to think. They wouldn't treat the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as just, okay, it's a sunnah, like, you know, okay.
You know, we noticed that they wouldn't even treat it as small.
No, no. It played a pivotal role in their lives. Their lives was the sunnah.
Right.
They would live the sunnah. Because, I mean, Allah is telling us the best role model for you is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Subhanallah.
His lifestyle, his sunnah, which is a complete and comprehensive way of living. The best lifestyle that you can ever imagine. If you want to live this short life to gain the maximum benefit, you are not going to find it anywhere else. You're only going to find it in the sunnah. Now imagine if we made it like sort of necessary in our lives. I have to, no matter what, I'm not going to follow him and nobody else. I'm going to put blinkers on.
Right.
I'm going to follow my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever, especially whenever he obeyed me.
And that's the way it needs to be.
I mean, if we are ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then what makes us different from anybody else? Yes, we believe in Allah azawajal. We only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We follow the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but do we follow? We can say it 100 times, 1,000 times, but through our actions, are we displaying it? Are we showing that subservience to whatever the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought? Because if we're looking, if we want to learn about how to obey the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you start with the Sahaba.
Yes, they are the best examples.
They are definitely. And then Ahlul Bayt Atahar are there. Awliya Allah are there. Thousands of Awliya Allah. We are not short of heroes in Islam. We are not short of role models. Above all, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, I mean, it's there. Ulama are there to teach us, to guide us, to advise us. It's up to us whether we want to become slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal and obey Him by obeying the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we become a slave of our own desires. We become a slave of the desires of society, of different people. We either become the slave of one, that is Allah Azza wa Jal, via obedience to His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or we become a slave of many. The choice is ours.
And you know, Muhasab, love entails obedience towards the beloved. And our beloved is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So when we say that, you know, we love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then it shouldn't be, you know, just lip service. Rather, it should come from one's heart. And together with saying that I love Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we should also be putting his sunnah into practice as well.
Correct, correct. But you see, we make excuses. It's the modern time. You know,
that's what the issue is.
Back then, they did things differently, and you know. But let me ask you something. Then who are you following? Think about it sincerely. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he taught us everything, how to eat, how to drink water, how to walk, how to talk, how to sleep, how to interact with each other, how to do business dealings. If you want a happy home, a home of harmony, how to go about by fulfilling the rights of the parents, spouse, children, siblings, neighbors, fellow Muslims. A to Z, you know why? Many Muslim homes are having trouble, domestic disputes, misunderstandings, quarrels, arguments, fights. Well, take a step back and think, who am I following? Am I following society and the rules of others? Or am I following the Sunnah? Am I following the Quran and Hadith? And you'll come to your answer. The further we drift away from obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the more problems we invite in our homes, in our lives. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in the glorious Quran, Surah Al-Anfal, verse 1, that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, wa ati'u Allah wa rasulahu in kuntum mu'mineen. And obey Allah and His noble Rasul. If you have iman, if you have faith, alhamdulillah, we have faith, we have iman. But it is insufficient just to make this claim and do nothing about it. Because many Muslims are going to be burning in the fire. What if that person is you and me? Don't think, oh, it's going to be other Muslims. How do you know? How do you know it's not going to be me? How? Let me judge myself, my lifestyle. Am I obeying my nafs, my desires, likes this and wants this? Does it contradict the Sharia? Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Na'imi Rahmatullah Ali, has stated that there's a difference between obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To obey Allah azza wa jal, we obey Him only in His commands, not His acts. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He is obeyed in three things. Those actions which He performed, the sayings that He mentioned, and those actions that were performed in front of Him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and He didn't stop it. All these things, these three, must be followed and must be obeyed as well. Meaning, whatever Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we must say labbaik, I accept, I follow. Whatever He did, we say labbaik, I obey, I accept, I follow. Whatever was done in front of Him, which He did not stop, then we must say labbaik. We must follow. We need to become, honestly, we need to become loyal. Loyalty to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is obedience. And again, that obedience is actually obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Furthermore, it's mentioned that the commandment of obedience to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it must not be considered that if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not obeyed, it will be his loss. Ta'udhu billah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fulfilled his duty of preaching. Now, the punishment for not following or not obeying Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is for us. If we choose to disobey, then again, nobody else's loss but ours. I'm going to be accountable. How I lived my life in this world, I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be questioned. What answer do I have? Ask yourself this. What's going to be my excuses and my answers on Qiyamah? Jesus.
Allah Akbar. Following the blessed hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his practices, and you've mentioned that those acts which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw but did not, you know, forbid it, all of those will go, you know, under the category of being obedient to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, smiling is that action which is a sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always be seen smiling. When he would talk, he would be smiling. So by us smiling, we following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in a way is also obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we are implementing what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And together with smiling being a sunnah, there is so much of good effects by smiling. Of course, now we have to know, you know, when to smile, where to smile. Yes. You know, one shouldn't smile at a funeral because then everyone would think that what is wrong with this person? Yeah. So it should be at the appropriate places and the appropriate time. But together with all of that, smiling is something that has a very positive impact on a person.
Absolutely.
If one enters the home smiling and the household members see that, then automatically, if they had a bad vibe or a negative vibe, then automatically when seeing this person entering the home with a smile on his face, it would change their whole demeanor in front of him. Why? Because of seeing him smiling, it creates that positivity. It creates that positive impact. And also on the other hand, by smiling, you are putting happiness into the hearts of others as well.
Subhanallah.
The reward for putting happiness into the hearts of others is so great, subhanallah, that it's mentioned in the hadith, the summary of which is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, after all of the fara'id acts, the greatest act is to put happiness in the hearts of other fellow Muslims.
Subhanallah.
And in another narration, it is mentioned that when a person puts happiness into the hearts of others, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an angel out of that happiness. And this angel continues to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When this person passes away and is lowered into his grave, the same angel would come to this person and it would ask the person, do you know who I am? Do you recognize me? And this person, he would say that, I do not know who you are. Please do tell me, who are you? The angel will then say that, I am that same happiness which you put into the hearts of other fellow Muslims. And today I am here to put happiness in your grave. Today I am here to intercede for you. I am here to help you answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir. And I am here to show you your place in Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Such, you know, immense reward just for putting happiness into the hearts of others. And what does it take you, you know, just to put happiness into the hearts of others? It doesn't take much, really. You know, because putting happiness into the hearts of others, you don't really have to go that extra mile in order to put happiness. Mm. Happiness can be of the smallest of things.
Right.
Just by meeting someone with a smile, automatically you are putting happiness into the hearts of someone else. So this is one of the beautiful practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if we have to follow, then we are showing our obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Very beautiful points you mentioned there, Huzur, about happiness. You know, happiness doesn't have to cost you an arm and leg.
Yes.
You know, if I buy a mobile phone for this person, they'll get happy. If I give them some money, they'll get happy.
Right.
I mean, you're smiling, how much does it cost? Smiling is contagious. Smile with the intention that I'm smiling because my beloved used to smile. You get thawab for that. You are earning. It's not costing you anything. You're earning profits for that. You're earning reward for that. You know, I love to mention this one quote.
Gee.
It's so profound, man. You know, that, you know, you must become the positive person. But that starts obviously in the mind. PMA, positive mental attitude, wherever you are going. Become the person that... There are some people that get happy when a certain person enters the room. And there's other people that get happy when the person leaves the room. What person am I? The one who enters and everybody's faces lights up and welcomes you and are sincerely happy? Or are they waiting for you to leave the room? And they get happy when you're out of the room. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just go and study. Read the seerah. Sahaba ikram, they always wanted to be in his company. They always wanted to look at his blessed, bright, radiant face. And when he used to talk, they used to be like, not a word. And how he used to speak, they were used to observe that nur, that light emanate from his blessed mouth. And they could count, if they wanted to, they could count the words in his sentence. He should make it simplified and easy to understand. So yes, he encouraged us. Because in Islam, there's a brotherhood. There's a brotherhood there. Subhanallah, you know what else he ordered us to do? Afshus salam bainakum. Spread salam amongst yourselves. The one who initiates the salam, who gives the salam first, is free from pride. Kibr, takabbur, arrogance. And salam behind it, it's not just a greeting. It's so much more than that. The ulama have taught us that your salam, you're making dua for that Muslim. Whether you know the person or you don't.
Subhanallah.
May the peace be of Allah be upon you. The mercy of Allah, the blessings of Allah be upon you. You're greeting him, you're making dua. And in essence, what you are also saying is that your life, your wealth, your property, your family, your honor is safe by me, is safe in my custody. I imagine I'm making salam to a Muslim, but then I start swearing them, insulting them. I start gossiping about them when they leave. I start backbiting, assassinating the character. What salam did I make? Just as a formality, without any true meaning. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us, you know, spread that salam amongst yourselves, I need to spread it like this. Then I'm greeting this Muslim, I'm making dua for them, and they are safe by me. They are safe from my hands and my tongue. So next time do this. It will make us more conscious. That we're just not just making the salam, but we're thinking about, hey, you know what? This is what the salam means when I'm making salam to another Muslim, whether I know them or not. Sahaba Ikram Ali Ridwan. You know, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, even if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls a person who is performing salah, the person has to obey and respond.
SubhanAllah.
Even while reading salah. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is calling, same time, labbaik, go. The Quran mentions that, O believers, present yourselves upon the call of Allah and His Messenger. When the Messenger calls you for a thing towards faith, the Quran, defending Islam or Shahada, which will give you life. And that too, this will not break the salah.
SubhanAllah.
It won't break the salah. Because obedience to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A blessed hadith even mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called a blessed companion who was reading salah. And he went to him. And we all know the greatness of salah. We know the status of salah. Fard, it is that action will be the first action a person will be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to read salah. What is the condition of my salah? He ordered us to perform salah as he read salah. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read your salah how you see me reading my salah.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that salah is the coolness of my eyes. Allah, Allah.
Is it the coolness of my eyes? Is salah the coolness of my eyes? It's the mi'raj, the ascension of a believer. What, how much does it feature in my life? Person may say, you know what, during the day I'm working, I can't make it. Normally people get a break, lunchtime, they get a break. So can't you read your salah there? If you're not getting a break or your breaks are too short, you have to make arrangements. You have to. There are people that I personally know. Like one person I know, he was working for a prestigious company, a European-based company here in South Africa. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, after he joined Dawud Islami, then he realized really the importance of being punctual and establishing salah. So he went to his manager and he explained that, you know, I need a few minutes. They used to give the break which he used to use for his dhuhr. But he would keep that wudu for the asr also. So he asked the manager that, you know what, other people are going on, they smoke breaks. I don't smoke. So this is how I want to use that time. Just a few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes for my afternoon prayer, the Asr Salah. And they said, yes, no problem. Use our boardroom for your prayer. The boardroom where important meetings and decisions take place. The company said, the manager said, no problem. And he had a musalla, he kept it in his drawer. He used to keep his wudu for Zuhr. Come Asr time, he's performing his asr, few minutes, comes back. SubhanAllah. So if, you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And that to ulama have said, if the boss is telling you, no, you're not allowed to perform salah, you need to run away from that job. Otherwise, what answer are you going to give on Qiyamah? You see, our lives have to revolve around the salahs. Not salah must revolve around my life. It must revolve around salahs. How I plan my day, how I plan my life. these five appointments that I have, if you got a doctor's appointment, you got a lawyer's appointment, you're going to make sure you're there a few minutes before. These appointments, the most important appointments, how important do I take it in my life? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he ordered us. The Quran orders us not just to read salah, establish the salah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered us perform how you see him performing salah. Am I reading like that, or am I reading what is comfortable for me? What is convenient for me? We have to question ourselves. Stop looking left and right, he and she, and how about pointing at yourself? We all need to point at ourselves. You, what are you doing? Who are you listening to? Who are you obeying? Who are you following? That's the order of the Sharia, the order of Islam. I want to succeed. But if I'm doing those things that are leading me away from obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how am I going to succeed? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us very clearly, Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba. One who follows my order, my command, will enter Jannah. The one who disobeys me is the one who denies. You need to ask yourself, I need to ask myself, which category do I fall in? The one who obeys or the one who denies, disobeys? Like some people of before, the believers, the obedient ones to the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, the obedient ones to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to say, Labbaika wa sa'daika. That, you know, we are present. That we acknowledge, we accept, we have heard. Sami'na wa ata'na. We have heard and we have obeyed. Then you have the other people. Sami'na wa asayna. We have heard, but we have disobeyed. Which category do I fall in? It's a question we need to ask ourselves. And then I know which direction I'm heading in, the right way or the wrong way. Jimunasa.
No, Masab, there was a very beautiful point that you've mentioned, that our lives should revolve around salah. And we see that when our lives revolve around our five times daily salah, when that is, you know, in order, then everything else falls into place.
Yes,
everything else automatically happens, you know, but as long as our five daily salah are intact. But if you see on the other hand that if our five daily salahs are not read, only some are read, then we find that in our life everything is going up and down. And then we're wondering, what is happening? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? It's because we haven't really established salah. And this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us and has told us. So if we want to show obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we need to also establish our salahs. I mean, look at the Sahaba Ikram Alayhi Muridwan, how obedient they were to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that upon each command, each request of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they immediately acted upon it without even thinking twice. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded his best companions to bring their wealth and come for an expedition, they did not think twice. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to his home. He brought all of his possessions, all of his belongings in the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what have you left behind for your family? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Ya Rasulullah, I have left behind for my family Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at the, you know, obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a very beautiful narration wherein a beggar came to Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she gave him a piece of bread. And then after a while, a very well-dressed person came. And this time, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she gave him food, proper food, and she made the person, you know, sit comfortably. And when she was asked the reason as to why she had done so, she mentions the saying of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein it is mentioned that treat every person according to their status.
Subhanallah.
Look at her obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That why she did, why did she do it that way? It was because of this blessing of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I must treat people according to their status.
Subhanallah. I mean, Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Sayyidina Aisha as-Siddiqa radiallahu anha. I mean, she was such a great scholar of Islam, such a great Alima, Muftiya, Muhaditha, Mufassira, Faqiha, jurist of Islam. That Sahaba Ikram alayhim ridwan, they used to learn from her. From behind a veil, she used to teach. And Subhanallah Azawajal, she's also teaching us. This is the advice of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the way of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So practically they demonstrated it. What are we waiting for? We have to become subservient to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. What he told us. What he told us to do or not do. That has to take priority in our lives if we are to be complete believers. In fact, that's the blessed hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, none amongst you can become a true believer until his desire becomes subservient to what I have brought.
Subhanallah.
So these are serious questions to ask. Am I one of those that whatever I desire, it doesn't matter? What matters is what my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants from me. He ordered us to discharge zakah. Am I trying to find loopholes here and there in order not to? Am I calculating it properly? Am I giving it to the recipients, those who qualify to receive zakah? He orders us to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Am I doing it? He ordered us to perform Hajj. If we have the financial capacity and the good health, the ability for it. Am I? He ordered us to fast in Ramadan. Am I doing that? Myself, there was a person that he told me, this was back then, I was still studying in Jamia. So I didn't want to argue anything because I was still a student and he was a temperamental person. She could angry quickly, like. And he was a big person. So he told me, hey, me, I don't fast in Ramadan.
Allah, Allah. Casually.
Casually, like, you know, I'm thinking maybe some sickness or something's going to say. Is I don't fast because I get so hungry that I get very angry.
Allah.
And I start sweating and fighting and shouting because of my hunger, because of fasting. So we're going to get people like this. That, you know, that's not an excuse.
Yeah.
It's not a valid Shari'i excuse. So because of that, you're not fasting. Who's losing out? Is that not the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Quran, of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What answer are you going to give on Qiyamah? Ya Allah, I didn't fast in Ramadan because I used to get angry. You think it's going to be accepted? Now, like that, how many people out there, how many of us make such excuses not to fast, or not to go for Hajj, or not to give a zakah, or not to read Salah, my head is paining, oh, can't read Salah. Anything, whatever we can grab. Many are guilty of this. And many are super punctual with their Salahs. Many are super punctual with reading the Quran, with practicing the Sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You'll find many people, especially in this beautiful environment of Dawud Islam, you'll see them. And that motivates you to also practice. So this is a way. How do I become more obedient to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? To be in the right company. To be surrounded by the right people. If I'm hanging around with those friends that are taking me to clubs and to these cinema places and to casinos for entertainment and to have a good time, you think you can develop that obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Really? So those are your losses. You need to cut all those losses out of your life.
One may even think, Munasab, that, you know what, I'm good, but though my company is bad, I may be good, so it's okay. The effects won't rub off on me. But that is not the case, you know, because that effect of the company, of that bad company, would definitely sooner or later rub off on a person, even if they are good.
Absolutely. It's like, for example, my friends are rolling around in the mud and I'm standing there with them. I'm not rolling around in that mud.
Right.
You're not going to get splashed with the mud. You're not going to get dirty. They're rolling around in the mud of sins and you're standing there with them. It's not going to come on you. You're going to be known by everybody. He's one of them. If that's what you want, you can see my intention is pure, but people judge you from what they see, what they hear. Be in good company. We're living in the time of chaos, in the time of confusion. People, access to information is readily available. You just click one button, you're online. You just type what you want and it's in front of you. Now with AI, AI is a new startup. One youngster asked me the other day, a student, that, you know, I go to AI and I ask it Islamic questions. Can I do this? Should I do this? So I advise that, be careful. Don't make AI or any of these kinds of platforms your source of knowledge. Yes, you can use it for many things.
Right.
Projects, school projects, assignments, a little bit of research. Even the research, be careful. Take it with a bit of salt. You can't trust everything. You can't believe everything. Get connected to Ala Hazrat. You want to stay safe? You want your children to remain yours. Drown yourself in Dawud Islami. Its activities, its courses, its classes. The weekly booklets. Read the weekly booklets. Attend the ijtimas. Travel on Madani Qafila. All of these things. If you are in it and you get your children in it, you are safe. You're safe on this ship. The icebergs are all around. The icebergs are all around. The little boats are all around. Your choice, my choice. You want to come onto this large, strong ship that is sailing fast towards Medina Tayyiba, or you want to jump onto the small boats. The choice is yours. If you want your children to stay yours, yourself and your kids, jump onto the ship of Dawud Islami. Inshallah. Well, we're talking about obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is where success lies. That's where it lies, true success. And if you want that kind of success, then, well, we have to cut out certain things or certain people from our lives. The awliyaullah, how they obey the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ghawse Pak, Khaja Sahib, Al Hazrat, Sufi Bawa, Badshah Bawa, Data Sahib, every single Waliullah was obedient to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was obedient to the Sharia. Otherwise, that person, how can he be a Waliullah? If he's doing his own things, then the adhan is going and he's sitting with everybody. I'm closing my eyes. I'm reading my salah in Medina Sharif. But when the food comes, he doesn't close his eyes and go somewhere else. He's the first one there. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by these fake people. They just want to suck you dry of your money. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, the Kamil Wali of this time, Amir Ahl Sunnah Damal Barakatul Aliyah, is educating us, empowering us. Once you have the proper knowledge, you can same time identify the incorrect information out there. And all of this is grounded in the love of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the obedience to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it doesn't take much. It may take little time, but if you work at it, introduce one sunnah at a time in your life. Yes. We're talking about sunnah, about smiling.
Right.
So, you know, some people, it's hard for them to smile.
It's like a sour face.
Yeah, like, you know. But you can make it. You have to train yourself. You have to train yourself. Many things that are new, you need to adjust to it. So in the beginning, it might be like awkward, difficult, strange. But repetition is part of learning. If you keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it, it'll become like your habit, like your routine. Subhanallah. So like this, you introduce one sunnah at a time. One sunnah, eating, okay, sleeping, right. Next one, next one, next one. And before you know it, within no time, you'll see, within a month, within 2 months, give yourself targets by, within this month, two sunnahs at least I must, or three sunnahs, whatever it is. Subhanallah.
You know what, so we see that children, right, children are obedient towards their parents, and we see students, or we can say some, are obedient towards their teachers. Employees or workers are obedient towards their boss. You know, they would always, you know, excel in doing better and better, yes, and better, because they want, you know, that position, they want that success, right, in their job, in their field. Mm-hmm. Now, our obedience for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needs to be above all of this.
Right.
If we want to attain great heights, if we want to climb this ladder of success and get success,
right,
then we need to be obedient to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by following his practices. Absolutely. Like you've mentioned, some of the sunnahs and practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if one only has to understand and realize that the practices of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the way of life.
MashaAllah. Before you give any more tips, right, on ways, practical ways that we can become more obedient,
right.
I think let's take a short clip, inshallah, filler.
Inshallah.
And thereafter, we just continue with the discussion, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
We know that throughout the ages, Muslims wholeheartedly celebrated the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in Madinah al-Munawwarah, and in various places across the entire world. One such account I will mention, it's in relation to Shaykh Waliullah Muhaddith Dehlawi, rahmatullahi ta'ala. He states, I once attended a gathering of Mawlidun Nabi in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and the date was 12th of Rabi'ul Awwal, meaning the actual night of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actual date, the date that coincided with the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, while celebrating the Milad of the Prophet alayhi salam at his place of birth, where the Prophet alayhi salam was actually born in the house of Sayyidatuna Amina radiyallahu anha, he says, when the Milad was being mentioned, I suddenly saw lights beginning to ascend from that gathering. Thus, I began to ponder upon those lights and came to realize that they were the lights of divine mercy and of those angels who attend such gatherings. Allahu Akbar. This is what Shah Waliullah Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullahi alayhi is saying in regards to what he witnessed, the spiritual blessings, that lights were emanating, were descending. And he says, these are the lights of divine mercy and the light of those angels who also attend such gatherings. So we know that this is the way of the angels to attend the Mawlid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah azza wa jal. Always something to learn at every turn. MashaAllah azza wa jal. This is one of the wonderful blessings and benefits that one gets for being part and parcel of this beautiful, fragrant Madani movement, Dawud Islami. Always something, some course or some blessed class is happening where it involves ilmuddin from authentic sources, subhanAllah azza wa jal. When we're talking about obedience to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and before the filler, we were talking about some tips, some ideas on how to develop that mindset of ita'ah, of obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Jee Muhasab,
Alhamdulillah, we have, you know, discussed ways, some of the ways in which one can gain obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the ways we discussed was reading and hearing the blessed ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, earlier on, we've discussed about spreading, about putting happiness into the hearts of other fellow Muslims. And another very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, the summary of which is that a person who sees a fault in his brother and conceals it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter that person into Jannah just because of concealing the fault of other fellow Muslims. Subhanallah. How often we, you know, this is something that we need to ask ourselves, that how often are we going around and looking for the smallest of faults in others? You know, even if it may be that someone say kurta, you know, or jubba was not ironed, then a person will look and say, oh look, his kurta is, or his jubba is not ironed.
Yes.
Although not a fault, right, but it is something that puts another person down. And if someone sees a person, for example, doing something, you know, of that sort which falls under the category of a fault,
right,
And a person sees that and immediately he goes and tells others that, look, this person has so and so fault. Now, on one hand, that is a sin in itself. On the other hand, you are degrading that person, you know, humiliating that person. And this is not something that Islam encourages, is not something that Islam motivates. Yes. We have to learn to conceal the faults of others. And we have to look at ourselves, how many faults are within us. Right. That if we're going to go around looking for the faults in others, how are we going to better ourselves if we don't take a self-introspection? We would be stagnant. We wouldn't be, you know, leveling up because of not looking within ourselves. So this is the beauty, that not to look at other people's faults, yes, but to look at your own faults. And in this way, there is room for growth. This is another angle of looking at it. Yes. Otherwise, there would not be any room for growth. So this was one way in which we can gain our obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his best ahadith. Another way is through to recite and read the Holy Quran. Look at those verses, at those ayat that tell us about the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
That's to motivate us, yes, to follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The ayah we've mentioned earlier, in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرِ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. This is an ayah also that encourages us to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we want to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is also another way of gaining the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And like that, we have the biographies, the lifestyle, yes, of the Ashab, the blessed companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they would rush to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you have the Ahlul Bayt, how they would obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Awliya'i Kamilin, our pious predecessors, reading about their life, about their stories, because it's not just fairy tales, it's not just something that is soothing to one's ears. No, it's way more than that, because in it has valuable, priceless lessons in order to live one's life. And we see throughout their seerah, throughout their biography, how they obeyed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even our pious predecessors, those who were not in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but still they obeyed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and did not go against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, Mahasab, these are some of the efficient ways one can gain more yearning in the heart, more love in the heart to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
MashaAllah Azza wa Jal. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we're talking about obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our respected Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Madani has shared some beautiful practical tips, ideas, Madani pearls of advices on how to encourage ourselves to follow and obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Firstly, read the Quran, read the translation of the Quran, read the blessed seerah, biography of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba Ikram and the pious people, Ahlul Bayt and the Awliya Allah. You will find throughout they lived their life in accordance to the Quran, in accordance to what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered. And we come to the sunnah as well. Follow the sunnah, embrace the sunnah, don't be shy, don't think what he's going to think, what she's going to think, what people are going to say. Society, leave all of those things there. Society is not going to be there when you are all alone in the darkness and loneliness of the grave. So society is not going to be there when you're standing all alone on the day of judgment to account for yourself, for your life that you lived in this world, for whatever good or bad that you did. You are going to be there to answer for yourself. So rather, please Allah Azza wa Jal, and please the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Besides these few things that we have mentioned where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has commanded, there's other things as well. What about the commands of not lying, not backbiting, not stealing, not oppressing, not violating rights, not being jealous, and so many others that a lot of us are guilty of? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warned us, told us, ordered us. For example, stay away from jealousy. Why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that jealousy eats up good deeds how fire eats wood.
Allah.
Eats the good deeds, we won't even know it. But backbiting, what does the Quran say? What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about doing good deeds, refraining from evil, not hurting people, not usurping the properties of others, not violating rights? We need to learn these things, because these are also part of the orders of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the do's and the don'ts, both ways. So whilst I'm trying my best to do good deeds in order to obey Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, I need to also obey Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and refrain from sins and abstain from all those things that are deeds leading towards the fire. You know, there was a lady that her family member had passed away. And after the 3 days of mourning, she was putting some like kohol or something in her eyes. Or she was putting fragrance rather. And so people were thinking, hey, you know, your family member, close one, your beloved one just passed away. And said, no, mourning is for 3 days. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam fixed mourning for 3 days only. So now, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, I'm following this order that my family member who passed away, I've done my mourning for the 3 days. I'm continuing in obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Others, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned to the ladies that they must be on the sides. And if a man is walking, he must not walk between women. Subhanallah. The Sahabiyat, the female companions, that they obeyed this order because they knew whatever the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, is ordering, it is because Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is the one who is teaching him to teach us, to teach you and I.
It is so beautiful, Munasab, at how the Sahabiyat, you know, the female companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how they would also obey him. Like the incidents that you've mentioned, it's also mentioned that the Sahabiyat, they would walk so close against these walls of the road, against the walls, that their clothes would get entangled with the walls. That's how close they would walk to it, following, you know, the command of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and obeying what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them.
Well, they took it seriously.
Yes.
Not like so many of us that, you know, okay, it's a sunnah, or no, we should think that my beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he orders me, I need to create this mindset, I have to follow. We have a lovely segment now, inshallah. Our respected Mulana Tabarez Sahab is going to be asking questions to Madrasatul Madina students.
Inshallah.
And subhanAllah, the topic is what we are discussing. So let's see what the questions are and let's see what answers they give, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyid al-anbiya wal mursaleen, sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome once again, dear viewers. You are watching our segment, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We are at the Jamiatul Madina in the Bluff area of Durban, South Africa. And once again, we are with our two teams, mashallah, Team A and Team B, who are the students of the Hifz Academy. May Allah Kareem grant us all the love and knowledge of the Holy Quran and Pak, inshallah, and grant us tawfiq to practice upon the orders of the Holy Quran and Pak as well. The questions that are to be asked in today's segment, of course, is in relation to the discussion that you are watching on Madani channel. Obedience to the Rasul is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Both the teams, are you all ready?
Alhamdulillah.
Can I hear that in a much more passionate way and effective way? Are you all ready? MashaAllah. Now they look very much ready, dear viewers. And are you ready? So if you are ready, inshallah, sit back, relax, and let's see if you also know the answers to these questions. Alhamdulillah. The first question, which will earn either one of the teams 10 points, inshallah. And we have 11 to 12 questions that we're going to be asking, inshallah. What does obedience to the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean? MashaAllah, Team B has raised their hands first. So let's go to Team B. What does obedience to the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean? Allahu Akbar. If we have learnt and studied the Holy Quran Pak, we would definitely know the answer to this question. What does obedience to the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mean?
It means to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow him.
It means
to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and follow.
To obey and follow, as well as to listen to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now the answer is correct, subhanallah. This gives our Team B 10 points, mashaAllah. Let's move on to the next question. What does the Holy Quran teach us about following the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If I'm not wrong, I seen the left side raise their hands first, but let's go to Team A. Alhamdulillah. Team A will give us the answer to this question. What does the Holy Quran teach us about following the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
The Holy Quran teaches us that if we love Allah Azza wa Jal, then we should follow His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Holy Quran teaches us that if we love Allah Azza wa Jal, then we should follow the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The answer is absolutely correct. Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, MashaAllah. Both teams on a draw at the moment, 10 points each, MashaAllah. And the third question is, if a person does not love and obey, Allahu Akbar. I asked half of the question and Team B has raised their hands. Give us the answer. Complete the question if you desire to and give us the answer to this.
That person, his iman is not complete.
That person, his iman is not complete. Allahu Akbar, which is very correct and true, because if a person does not love the beloved Rasul more than anything in this world, his iman is incomplete. But together with that, that person does not love Allah Azza wa Jal and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the answer given by Team B is correct, subhanallah. Let's go to the next question. And the question is, what does the Holy Quran say about obeying the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? MashaAllah. Team A again.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has beautifully said that the one who follows me will enter Jannah.
The one who follows me will enter
Jannah.
Jannah. The answer is correct. Subhanallah. MashaAllah. The next question is, who did the Sahaba obey and follow? Team A again. MashaAllah. Labbaik.
The Sahaba radiallahu anhumah obeyed the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The Sahaba Ikram obeyed the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, and they followed the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. They listened to him and they followed the beloved Aqa and Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The answer is absolutely correct, subhanallah. Thus, we are supposed to follow all the companions of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as stated in the hadith. My Sahabas are like the stars in the sky. If you follow any one of them, you will righteously be guided. Subhanallah. Now this gives Team A 40 points, Team B with 20 points. The next question is, what does the Holy Quran tell us about Salah? Team B, yes.
The Quran teaches us to perform our five daily salahs.
The Quran has ordered us to perform, to establish our five daily prayers. And the answer is correct, subhanallah. This earns Team B 30 points and Team A sitting with 40 points, mashallah. The next question is, how must we perform salah? Team A has raised their hands first. How must we read salah is the question. Let's see if they have the answer correct for this, inshallah, azza wa jal. How must we read our salah, dear viewers?
We should try to perform salah in the manner taught to us by our beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
We must read salah how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us to read. Subhanallah, jawab bilkul durust diya hai. Yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated in the hadith, perform your salah the way you see me perform salah. Subhanallah. So you can only become a namazi, of course, when you follow the sunnahs of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performing your ruku and sujood and all those actions just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has performed, dear viewers. And the only time you're going to learn this is when you're going to study the seerah of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laws pertaining to salah itself, inshallah. May Allah Kareem bless the viewers of Madani channel, including our teams. And this earns Team A 50 points, mashallah, and 20 points still for Team B. Let's see if this answer is given by the Team B. What did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teach us about looking after the poor people? Allahu Akbar. And this is again for Team A.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that we must feed and take good care of the poor.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us to feed and care for those who are poor. The answer is correct, dear viewers. Alhamdulillah. This is the style and the andaz of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he would tie stones on his own blessed stomach, but he would feed the rest of the world. Subhanallah. No one was turned down at his door. Whoever came for whatever the case may be, dear viewers, our Aqa and Master never said no to any person who came to him. This is from one of the sunnahs of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to share, to care for others, and to love for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This gives Team A 60 points, mashallah. Team B, we have a long way to go, inshallah. Let's see if you're going to get this correct. What did the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us about Hajj? Allahu Akbar. Okay, let's give this chance to Team B, inshallah, azza wa jal.
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that we should perform Hajj at least once in our life, if we are able to afford.
At least perform Hajj once in our lifetime, if we are able to afford it. If we are able to go for Hajj once in a lifetime, we should do so. This is the order of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, the answer is correct, dear viewers. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallama. And now this gives our Team B 30 points, mashallah, and Team A sitting with 60 points. The next question is, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about fasting in Ramadan? Mashallah, Team B raised their hands first. Mashallah, it was very quick, very fast. But let's go with Team B. What did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan al-Kareem?
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, we should fast the full month of Ramadan.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should fast for the whole month, for the full month and complete month of Ramadan. And guess what? Team B, your answer is correct. Subhanallah, mashallah. Yes, dear viewers of Madani channel, there are numerous ahadith about fasting in the month of Ramadan, and only that brother, that Muslim brother and sister, is fortunate who respected the month of Ramadan and kept the rozas and fast in the month of Ramadan al-Kareem. Remember, there is another narration, the one who missed the fast of Ramadan, he can fast for the rest of his life, he would never make up even for one fast in Ramadan al-Kareem. Allahu Akbar. This is the blessings of Ramadan itself, dear viewers of Madani channel. May Allah Kareem enable us to fast and respect the month of Ramadan. This gives Team B 40 points. Team A sitting with 60. And this is how you've seen Team B come from the back, right? Subhanallah. Let's go to the next question, dear viewers. And subhanallah, the next question is, what did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about parents? Allahu Akbar. This came as Team B again.
We should take care of our parents and love them and obey them.
We should take care of them, love them, and obey them. And the answer is correct. Subhanallah. Yes, dear viewers of Bazini channel, even the Quran has emphasized on this matter. Subhanallah. The Quran has taught us to lower the wings of mercy for them. We are not even allowed to say uff to them, dear viewers of Madini channel. May Allah Kareem enable us to also show complete love and respect and obedience to our parents as well. Subhanallah, often make dua for them as taught by us in the Holy Quran. Oh Allah Azza wa Jalla, have mercy on our parents just as they showed mercy to us when we were small. Subhanallah, Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now we move on to the next question, inshallah Azza wa Jalla. The question is, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam teach us about his sunnah life? Team A has raised first. Allahu Akbar. Let's give Team A the opportunity to answer this question.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has beautifully said that the one who loves my sunnah loves me, and the one who loves me will be with me in Jannah.
And the answer is correct. Subhanallah. So many benefits, numerous benefits of loving and following the sunnahs of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trust me, dear viewers, you would not only be successful on this planet, but rather in the hereafter as well, subhanallah. In Adam-e Barzakh, you will attain success and salvation from his difficulties as well as in the hereafter. May Allah Kareem enable us to completely follow his sunnah, inshaAllah. And now this gives Team A 70 points.
Alhamdulillah.
Team B is sitting with 50 points. And now we move on to the last and final question, inshallah, azza wa jal. And the question is obedience to Rasulullah, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Your time starts now. MashaAllah, Team A has raised their hands very slowly and quietly, MashaAllah. Let's see if they have the answer for this. You can make mashwara first before you give the answer, because this question will now determine who will be the final winner. They have 60 points already and 50 points for Team B. Is obedience to the beloved Rasul obedience to the Almighty? Okay, mashallah. Team A, you can give the answer.
Allah Azza wa Jal commands us to obey Him and to also obey His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So you said G.
G.
And the answer is correct. Subhanallah. Finally, the team has given the correct answer to the last and final question, which gives them 70 points. Team B sits with 50 points. We have come to the end of today's segment. Shukran for watching. Barakallah. May Allah Kareem grant us all tawfiq and ability to show obedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to our parents as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah azza wa jal. Munasab, how was that? MashaAllah azza wa jal.
Allah subhanallah. Very enlightening, Munasab.
And this is one of the brilliant characteristics of Dawud Islami, to train the next generation.
This is what we need the most.
Absolutely. And we're talking about obedience.
Yes.
These are ways where we can teach, we can learn obedience to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen.
Right.
He is mercy to all the universes. What can we say about those people that break ties? If Munasab can just mention that narration.
Gee, Munasab, that person who severs family ties, right? And that person who is a bad neighbor, These two people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not shower His mercy upon them on the day of Qiyamah. This is, you know, the summary of the hadith which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. And in another hadith, it is mentioned that the one who severs, who cuts off family ties, that person won't enter Jannah.
But aren't we seeing that a lot today?
It is so widespread that, you know, around the world, wherever we go, even in our own community, We see it, that the cutting of family ties has become so widespread that it actually seems like a norm. Like it's normal to just cut off a tie with my brother because of some small trivial reason.
Yeah.
I'm cutting off ties with him. Oh, he didn't invite me and he invited my sister. I'm cutting off ties with him.
But you know what? That is so immature.
100%.
Think about it. If it was like this, yeah.
Right.
If you break your family tie, then you're going to get burnt with this fire.
Mm-hmm.
the person is going to break it.
He won't break it in that case.
There's a consequence.
Yes.
I'm going to harm myself. My brother, Allah will not have mercy on that person. Will not have mercy on Qiyamah for the one who breaks ties. For the one who's a bad neighbor. So now how about we think about this? Who told us that? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told us that if you harm a believer, if you hurt a believer, you cheat a believer, you deceive him, what's going to happen? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who inflicts damage to a true believer or cheats and deceives him is accursed.
Allahu Akbar.
Do I fall in that category? Let us think. Before we talk, let us think. How many neighbors are out there? So many people don't even know their neighbors.
Some don't even talk to them at all.
Yeah, it's like we put up all these high walls. Okay, I understand that certain places like South Africa, you need your burglar guards and all the alarm systems and high walls. But do you even know who your neighbors are? Have you taken some niyaz or some small gift to your neighbor? Because the first person that can help you in case if there's an emergency is the neighbor. But do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will see, if everybody did this, how wonderful the society is going to be. The community to fulfill the rights of neighbors. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about this as well. To the extent that Sahaba ikram Ali Muridwan, they would say, that we thought maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how much he was emphasizing in some of the hadith, how much he was emphasizing on fulfilling the rights of neighbors, that he was going to include them in the inheritance, our inheritance. Allahu Akbar. So these are neighbors we're talking about. What about family members? Let's be the better person. Let's be that individual that mends, that brings together, not cuts and divides. And we can do it. They say every home needs a hero.
Yeah.
A peacemaker. Imagine if everybody said, I'm going to be the peacemaker. Everybody had this mindset, I'm going to be the hero. How wonderful it's going to be. That no, my brother didn't talk to me for a long time. I have to phone. I have to go and visit him. I need to phone him. I need to message him. I need to find out everything's okay. My sister, my parents, if they're far away, use technology. Use technology for good, then inshallah azza wa jal, you'll see good things happen all around you. So subhanallah azza wa jal, Islam is teaching us that, you know, in obedience to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lies success. Success in this world, success in the grave, and success and salvation on the day of judgment.
Yeah, so one has to understand that this is the way of life. There is no other way. You know, this is the perfect way of life. So just as how you were saying, one wants to gain success, then this is the way to follow. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Well, subhanAllah azza wa jal, that brings us to the end of this discussion. But embrace the sunnah. Let us become humble and obedient servants of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will lead us to the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The supreme role model, in his noble footsteps perfection we see. In his noble footsteps perfection we see. A model for all in life's every degree. The supreme